churches, the people here have been so faithful. Even as we drove down, where's Gary McCool? We drove down Burlington Street yesterday, this morning, and I said to Nancy, we thought about buying that big, ugly old brick house as a board, and it's a good thing we didn't buy that thing because it was a long ways away from the University of Iowa. And 20 plus years ago, or 15 years ago, no, about 20 years ago, we as a board bought the house by Kinnick Stadium, and we got to live in there for 15 years. And when I come back and I hear the Iowa Fight song, I wonder, why did I ever leave? But we felt like two are better than one, and now it's three are better than one. Three campus ministries as we started at University of Colorado, Mesa State University in Western Colorado. Now possibly four are better than one with University of Colorado in Denver and a community college in Denver that we want to work with as well in these upcoming months. But I wanted to let you know some about our family. We just got done seeing our oldest daughter. She and her husband have a son. Just about live there, except for there's no bed. But, you know, the bookstore and all those things. And the students go there to flirt. They go there to eat. They go there to study. And we set up shop sitting at a table, and we try to ask questions that will cause them to want to come up and banter with us. Our raciest question that we ask is, what would Jesus say to Britney Spears? And so students come up and ask us about morality, and we get to challenge them with their worldview and where they are morally and why we think homosexuality is wrong, but not just homosexuality, but adultery and even lust. And boy, they're pretty surprised, but we just keep going back to the Bible as the authority. We ask other questions like the question that I have on your handout, the question of, are all religions the same? That's one of the hottest questions that we answer on a college campus, and that question is the same question that we worked with at the University of Iowa. And you're working with that more here in Cedar Rapids and roundabout Cedar Rapids. Are all the religions the same? Because pluralism is the in vogue religion at the University of Iowa, at the University of Colorado. When I say pluralism, you know, pluralism is a plurality of ways to God. And you're bringing, there are different religions coming in from Indonesia, from Malaysia, Hong Kong, China. And we're inundated with those on a college campus, especially when the typical 18-year-old is thinking, I was raised Protestant, I was raised Catholic, it's boring, I want something different. And Eastern mysticism or an Eastern religion sounds esoteric and, you know, new and fresh, and I want to try that out. So it's alive and well, pluralism, a plurality of ways to God. In fact, when I was here at the University of Iowa, I was pushing Chelsea on a swing. A medical student was pushing his child on a swing. And he said to me when he found out I was a minister, it seems to me like all religions are basically the same. In the University of Iowa Daily Iowa student newspaper, a few years ago, I read, Islam is not that different from Judeo-Christian. It's one of God's religions. Now that we're at the University of Colorado, as of 3.5 years ago, just recently a person came up to me at our literature table and said, well, I suppose the answer to your question is yes. And in this case, the question was, is Jesus the only way to God? And I pointed to the verse in front of me, John 14:6, it was on the banner, and I said, what option do I have? I mean, if Jesus says he's the only way to God, then my answer has to be yes, right? And he said, the only answer you have, the only option you have, is to say that John 14:6 is non-canonical or not part of God's revelation. And he's right. I mean, it's either this is God's revelation and Jesus is the only way to God, or it's not authoritative. So we're constantly working at that, from University of Iowa to University of Colorado, and now there's a mosque in Cedar Rapids, right? There's an Islamic mosque. So it's not like you're in this little us four no more enclave and you're not influenced by these religions. And you know, the question does kind of haunt us too, right? It's not just for those atheists outside these walls or those agnostics or those pluralists or those pantheists. It's for us. We have to answer the question too, right? Is Jesus the only way to God? I mean, that's kind of narrow, isn't it? Are all religions the same, or is Christianity the only true religion? And yeah, we know the pat answer, but I'm trying to build a biblical theological reason in answering that question. But before we get to the biblical reason, I want to talk, first of all, religions are not the same based upon religions. First of all, I'd like to talk about Islam, the fact that it's different than other religions, and it's certainly different than Christianity, in spite of the fact that a Jewish student that we just keep sharing the gospel with, if you're tracking our prayer letters via email, and we have a prayer letter in the back as well at the door, a Christmas prayer letter, if you're tracking that, you know that Ben keeps bantering with us at the table. He'll come up and one day he'll be an atheist and one day he'll be something else, an agnostic or a deist. He'll take that position. But he said to me one day, well, you know, I just think that all three major religions, at least Islam and Judaism and Christianity, are the same. They all worship the God of Abraham. Well, the problem, I said to Ben, is that we're Trinitarian and Islam is not Trinitarian. We believe God as a son. The Quran teaches over and over again, probably 20 clear-cut times, Allah doesn't have a son, as I've read the Quran a couple different times. Allah doesn't have a son. God does have a son, John 3:16. Just keep coming back to the single leg takedown, the basics, John 3:16. God does have one and only son. But as we keep hearing about Islam, and as we keep meeting Muslims at a university, we meet lots of kind Muslims. They're as gracious as can be, and they're embarrassed by the Islamic fundamentalists. And they want to distance themselves from them. And so they're saying, no, that's radical Islam. Just like Christianity has its weirdos, like in Denver, Colorado, there was a lady who kept urine in the refrigerator because God told her to do that. Like, well, that's bizarre. That's inane. Well, that's what Islamic fundamentalism is, according to a whole lot of very kind Muslims. And so then we start thinking, we almost, again, as Christians, and certainly as Americans, we start thinking, well, maybe Islam and Christianity aren't that different. That's what we're being told in these public relations classes by Muslims. In fact, one day I took Chelsea to, I went with Chelsea in her fourth grade class, and it was like last year, and we went to a Muslim mosque, and sure enough, it's just like this Chinese torture. I know he's going to say it. It's just a matter of time. And sure enough, the man up front said, to all these fourth graders, we love Jesus. And you know, after 9/11, people said, the Muslims said, we believe in Jesus. Did you hear them saying that on TV? And it's like Chinese torture. Don't, no, don't say it again. Because you don't believe in Jesus. On the other hand, they do believe that Jesus was a sinless prophet. And when they say things like that, naive Americans are like, well, I didn't realize that, a sinless prophet. I kind of believe that too. I'm Protestant, I'm Catholic. And so, yeah, that's, you know, I can see how they could go together. The difficulty, though, is not thinking through the similarities. It's thinking about the dissimilarities, kind of like Tiger Woods and myself. I mean, we have all kinds of similarities. But it's the dissimilarities that caused Tiger Woods to stand up and apart from the pack of golfers. It's the dissimilarities of Jesus. For example, Jesus died and rose again. Islam denies that Jesus died on the cross because a loving God would not allow his son to die such a heinous death. Well, then Islam and Christianity don't concur. I mean, at this point, we're not saying which one's right and which one's wrong. I mean, you can beg the question, you know where I'm headed. But we're just saying either Jesus did die or he didn't die. And you can't have it both ways. We jump rather quickly to Judaism, or jump over that for the sake of time, and jump to Hinduism. I think of Isaiah, the prophet, who said 700 BC, no one stops to think. Well, let's be the exception. Let's think about this. When Isaiah chided the people, you know, you take this block of wood and you cut it in half and you burn half of it and it warms you. And then you take the other half and you make this idol. How inane. You know, you can't have it both ways. Maybe you burn this and then it's a god, this piece of wood. Then you have Hinduism, and you think about Hinduism, and it sounds kind of interesting. Like I said earlier, these Eastern religions, it's different than Protestantism, different than what I was raised as an 18-year-old. And I want to think about other religions, and you know, Hinduism works a whole lot better in the classroom than it does in real life. Because in real life, you've got these cows running around. My dad just came back from India not long ago, and it's not just maybe, you know, you think in India you have your caste system and you have your rich people and your poor people, and I bet those cows go to the bathroom where the poor people are, and they don't, you know, but where the rich people are, somehow they don't let those cows, you know, they quarantine those cows, you know, you guys can have them, keep them over there. It's the rich people that are picking up after the cows, and you know, it just seems to work a whole lot better in the classroom where you don't have cows than in real life when you stop to think about Hinduism and reincarnation. Reincarnation kind of sounds like resurrection, doesn't it? I mean, they both start with the letter R. They both have to do with the afterlife, but reincarnation, it just means that if my sweetheart predates me in death, then maybe she'll turn into a cow, and maybe I'll turn into a cow, and well, we'll get to see each other again. But in resurrection, if my sweetheart predates me in death, I'll get to see her again. I'll get to see Nancy's grandmother who just passed away, and we participated in her funeral. We'll get to see her again. Because resurrection is infinitely superior to reincarnation. Now, I'm obviously showing my hand, am I not? But you knew where I was headed. I just can't help but get to the conclusion is all religions aren't the same. It's pure naivete to even imagine that they could be the same. What about Buddhism? Buddhism is alive and well in Boulder. It still shocks me. This is kind of the culture shock, going from Iowa Falls to Cedar Falls to Iowa City in my lifespan, and talking to Americans who have perfect English and they're white Anglo-Saxon Buddhists. They've said no to Christianity, or American Christianity at least, and they're into Buddhism. A lady came by our table not long ago at the student union, and she said, she didn't say Luke 17, 21, but she said, the Bible says, even Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And you're just like, whoa, I never thought of that verse as a proof text for Buddhism. It's like, no, Jesus is saying, I'm within you. It's Christ. It's all about Jesus. I remind all of us to go back to the fundamentals again. When you think, well, I kind of get Islam mixed up with Buddhism. Well, they're not the same, and I encourage you to write some differences out, because Muslims don't think Islam is the same as Buddhism. So try to differentiate them when you're talking to different people in different religions, and you never know. Last night I played basketball with a guy from Afghanistan, so you never know who you're going to bump into. But if you really want to keep it simple with Buddhism, Buddha's arms are like this or like this, and Jesus' arms are like this. Jesus' arms are stretched out, reconciling a holy God with an unholy person like myself. Buddha didn't die on the cross. In fact, a lot of Buddhism is atheistic. So once again, is Buddhism the same as Christianity or basic theism in general? Or is Buddhism the same as Islam? No, because Islam believes in one God. Buddhism is primarily atheistic and philosophical. So if Buddhism is atheistic, it can't be the same, because either God doesn't exist or God does exist. Kind of like saying Gary McCool doesn't exist or Gary McCool does exist. There is a difference, isn't there? And you just can't suddenly change the rules and come to religion and say, well, in religion, God doesn't exist and God does exist. And somehow, in this postmodern world, you can harmonize the two. You can't do that in any other discipline. So why can you change the rules when it comes to religion? Comes to Shintoism. A while back, I pulled out an article from U.S. News and World Report. This is quite a while back. When Hirohito, Emperor of Japan, passed away, they offered rice and sake with the sun goddess. And the sun goddess, Japan makes some of the best cars in the world, but their religion is pathetic. It's like, you got to catch up. The sun goddess, the sun isn't a god. This is 1990, January 22nd, 1990. It's not that long ago, 15 years ago, and the Japanese are holding to a sun goddess. I know that Shintoism is not the common belief among the young Japanese. I don't want to misrepresent them. I just want to say that Shintoism, to hold that the sun is a goddess, just think about it. Isaiah says no one stops to think, and we want to be the exception. We want to say that Baha'ism is not the same as Christianity. And Native American religions are not the same as Christianity, as I've talked to some Native Americans here in Colorado. I also want to say for your handout that apart from Christianity, religions disagree with each other, and I've already alluded to that. But it's not just Christianity. If you just set Christianity over here, remember, Islam and Buddhism don't concur. Buddhism is atheistic and Islam is monotheistic, one God. It was interesting as I go back in the good old days at University of Iowa. Remember a man named Peter Kreef came to the University of Iowa. I don't know if you know, if you've ever heard that name. He's a heavy hitter and probably would claim to be evangelical. I would say evangelical at best. But in any case, I remember when Peter Kreef said, all people believe in Jesus, they just don't realize it. And a Buddhist stood up and said, that's not true. You're patronizing us. If you can say that I'm an anonymous Christian, then I can say that you're an anonymous Buddhist. It was so good, because it wasn't the Christian versus Peter Kreef. It was the Buddhist versus the so-called Christian, the intellectual Christian who's always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just can't take God for what he says. Just let God speak for himself. You don't have to change John 14:6. It says the same thing in Greek as what it says in English. You don't have to be a theologian to know Genesis 1:1. We're going to get there pretty soon. How do people attempt to synchronize the religions? That's on your handout there. And how do you do it? I mean, everybody is trying to do this. Not everybody, I mean, I'm not, but they're doing it at the University of Iowa, and they're doing this at the University of Colorado. So how do they do it? Well, they're naive, and they don't know anything about religions. They just care about girls, and they just care about guys, and they just care about sports, and they just care about drinking. So they don't care about Islam and Buddhism if they're different. They don't care about Hinduism. What is that? You know, that girl's way more interesting than Hinduism. So they're just naive. So we're trying to tell them something about the fact that, no, we're not all the same. That, do you really think that Buddhism and Islam are the same? Buddhists don't think so. That's why there are so many fights all over the world between Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus. And as I referred to earlier, there's an irrationality as to how people synchronize religions. Even though they're dissonant and they have conflicting truth claims, they just irrationally put them together. And they just kind of say, oh, any religion will do. And again, you don't do that in everyday life. Oh, any dentist will do. Just anybody who feels like pulling out my teeth. Any anesthesiologist will do. I mean, if he wants to use grape juice, that's okay. If it will put me to sleep, I do expect that. Like, no, you don't just go with anything will do. So how can you go with any religion will go? Any religion I'll accept. Remember a college girl named Alan came up to the table not long ago, and she said that she realizes I pushed her toward A or B. I mean, you can't really accept all the religions. You can only accept one. And she said, well, no, I think I can have them all. And I said, well, it doesn't make sense. And she said, I know that, but I have to live my life chaotically. It's like my neighbor, Mike the neighbor, he believes in meaninglessness. And I said, well, then how do you get meaning out of life? He says, I get meaning out of meaninglessness. And he was forced. There's no alternative to Christianity. And so the girl said, I'm willing to live with chaos. But I said, you know, you didn't dress chaotically today. And I said, I bet when you get on an airplane, you don't want to go one direction and your suitcases go another direction. That sometimes happens, but that's not what we want because we don't want to live chaotically. Why is your religion chaos? So we're constantly pushing people to realize that religions are not basically the same because they disagree. It's silliness to imply that they agree. But as Christians, we don't just go with everyday reason, common sense, or religions to tell us what's right and wrong. We, of course, go according to Revelation. To build a biblical theology rather rapidly, we know that there's a difference of religion all the way back from the Old Testament. For example, in Genesis 1:1, what sets Judaism apart from the pack of religions? What word in Genesis 1:1? God. It's a uniplural name for God. It's a plural ending. Elohim is a plural ending, so it should be they created. You can't see that in English, but you can see it in Hebrew. You see that in Spanish if you're familiar with the fact that you always have to have a third person and it would be plural, the plural noun and the plural verb. But it takes a singular subject. So there's only one God, and yet there's a plural ending as if there's two or more persons in this Godhead. And of course, subsequent revelation tells us that there are three persons in the Trinity. But from the get-go, first verse in the Bible, all religions aren't the same. There's one God, or there are many gods. And this one God is either one person, like Islam holds to, or there's one God in more than one persons. And that's what we have in Genesis 1:1 and throughout the Bible. Genesis 6:4, of course, says the Lord our God is one. Genesis 1:16, God made two great lights. How does that separate other religions from the true religion? God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. How does that separate? Why can't you just accept it? Why wouldn't anybody accept it? Because the sun is a goddess to a lot of religions, but not to us. In fact, Moses demythologizes the sun, takes the myth out of the sun, and says, hey, the sun isn't the most important thing. In fact, an atheist, I talked on the subject, and we sidewalk chalked, and we put on our banner, does God believe in atheists? And an atheist challenged me on this topic. And he said, as far as evolution and atheism, he talked about the sun giving life. And as an atheist, he wants to displace God with the sun that gives life. He said, because the sun generates life. And I said, you know, I've never seen a person who died on the road ever come back to life because the sun gave him life. The S-U-N, that is. So, again, from the get-go in Genesis 1, there's a differentiation between God and the sun goddess. Genesis 4, cross-reference Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So they're not the same. Genesis 6, were all the religions the same in Noah's day? Don't think so. Noah and his family were the only ones who survived the flood, and everyone else perished. Exodus 12:12, God says, I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. So are all gods the same? Not according to the God of Exodus. Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, offering your son to the fire. And God says, no, don't be offering your son to the god of Moloch. Are all religions the same? That, well, we think you should offer your son to the god of fire, and we think you shouldn't offer your son to the god of fire. I bet the son doesn't think that all religions are the same. Not if he's the one going into the fire. They're not all the same. They weren't the same back in the Old Testament time. Religions have never been the same. 1 Samuel 5, I love that passage where, you know, you got Dagon. And you've got God, Jehovah, and the Ark. And the Philistines have captured the Israelites' God. And now God comes in to fight for himself because the Israelites are sinning. So what happens to Dagon? Well, at first, he ends up falling on his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And then, the next day they rose up early, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left. I just think it's great because Dagon is this god of fertility. But that means that his offspring don't have heads and hands. But other than that, I would say that the religions are pretty similar. 1 Kings 17, Baal and Jehovah. You know, which God is God? Which God's going to bring fire down from heaven? Which God is going to bring the fire down from heaven, not only to light the sacrifice, but to just obliterate the sacrifice and burn up the water as well. They're not both the same gods. And God was differentiating himself all the way back in Naaman's day, in 2 Kings 5, and in Jonah's day ad infinitum. As we lead to the New Testament, just more of the same, only a little different, when you've got the Pharisees and Sadducees, and Jesus calls them brood of vipers. Does Jesus think the Pharisees and Sadducees are the same? I don't think so. I bet the Greek says vipers too. Matthew 16:6, Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And what's the leaven? Their doctrine. We're not talking about them as people. They're made in the image of God. And we respect Pharisees and Sadducees and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. We don't hate their guts. They're made in the image of God. And they reflect his glory. And they can speak. And they can act. And they're marvelous creatures, equal to us. We're not better than they are. It's just that by the grace of God, our doctrine is right. By the grace of God. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are," what's the M word? "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God," as Jesus is talking to these religious people opposing pluralism. Pluralism, there's this plurality of ways, and every way is legitimate. Jesus says in Mark 12:27, "You are greatly mistaken." Anything but religious tolerance. As Jesus said in Mark 23:16, "Woe to you, blind guides. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." And later on in Acts 23:6, as we're moving through the New Testament, Acts 23:8, "Sadducees say there is no resurrection." That's why they're sad, you see. They say there's no resurrection, but the Pharisees confess both. Pharisees do believe in the resurrection. So are all religions the same? Apart from Jesus, apart from Christianity, Phariseeism and Sadduceeism don't concur. So we're just going back to what we said earlier. All religions don't concur, just in the name of common sense. And now we go beyond religion to revelation of Jesus saying that the resurrection is right. John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil." I've had students come up to me at the University of Colorado and say, "I just think we're all children of God." And I say, "Well, that doesn't agree with what Jesus said, because Jesus said, you are of your father the devil." Galatians 1:8, "If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." So if you preach a different gospel, then you're not preaching the true religion. Ephesians 2:8-9, keep coming back to the basics, that you're saved by grace alone. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Timothy, people have a form of godliness. 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So are Muslims and Christians basically saying the same thing? Absolutely not. And Muslims say to me, "Oh, Tom, you're a nice guy. You're not going to go to hell. You believe the truth. We basically believe the same thing." I remember John Knapp, and this should encourage all you guys that have given us food over the years at retreats and gotten up early and made the pancakes. And John Knapp heard a street preacher in Iowa and talked to some people and got saved. And shortly after that, he and his girlfriend would come over to our house, and you guys interacted with John and Sue, and after months and months, they went to seminary. John graduated summa cum laude, pastored a church in White, South Dakota, got fired from the church, everything went bad. He's up in Michigan, and everything's, not everything, but things are going really well. What an encouragement. But I remember when John and I went down and talked to some Muslims afterwards, and this Muslim said, this Muslim, after a, they were doing a forum, and the Muslim said, well, Christianity and Islam are really, really similar. And we said, but Christianity denies the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the man said, but other than that, they're really similar. And we said, but that's like saying you can play volleyball without a volleyball and without a net. I mean, you just can't have both. And so, who is a liar? It's he who denies the Father and the Son. Allah does not have a son, and every Muslim will concur. When I'm misrepresenting the Quran, I could have brought it and shown it to you where it's marked in my Quran over and over again. It's just clear. They would never say that Allah has a son. And you know, in Revelation 20, the devil goes to hell. We're at the end of the Bible, the devil goes to hell, so is the devil's religion pretty much the same as God's religion? Evidently not. By way of excursus, I have there toward the end of your handout, but you need to be open-minded. And I hear that over and over again, I'm thinking, you know, if you get too open-minded, your brains will fall out, but I don't usually say that. I usually ask the person, are you open-minded, say, to your mother being raped? And the guy just looks at me like, where did you come up with that question? Well, it's because I lay my head on the pillow at night and I think through how inane it is to have half a piece of wood that you put in the fire and half a piece of wood you worship. And I think through the inconsistency and how illogical it is to be open-minded to a referee being partial to the other team. How open-minded it would be for, and I've asked students this, will you trade your $20 bill for my penny? Are you open to that? Are you open-minded to the fact that Jesus might be the only way to God? If you want to play open-minded, how about you being open-minded? And the fact of the matter is, I'm not open-minded. That's fair. I'm closed-minded by the grace of God. I know what I believe, but you're not open-minded either. You're not just open to this plethora of whatever happens. Let's go to any dentist will do. Any knee doctor will do. Any eye doctor will do. Well, not any eye doctor in Cambodia will do for me. Not if they don't have a light. You know, they got to have some instrumentality. So, yeah, open-mindedness, kindness, always. As Christians, we have room to improve in that area. But that doesn't mean that we're open-minded to believing in other religions. Steve Turner, the English journalist in Crete, in his satirical poem on the modern mind, writes, we believe in Marx, Freud, and Darwin. We believe that everything is okay. We believe in the therapy of sin. We believe that only taboos are taboo. We believe that everything's getting better, despite evidence to the contrary. We believe that Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. We believe that man is essentially good. It's only his behavior that lets him down. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. We believe there's no absolute truth except in the truth that there is no absolute truth. We believe that all religions are basically the same. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. There's a responsibility that all of us have, however, when we believe that our religion is the only true religion. that Jesus is the only way to God. And the responsibility is for us to get that cure to spiritual cancer out. Most of you know our track record. We did not set the University of Iowa on fire. There weren't thousands of people that got saved. People didn't come to Kinnick Stadium for a revival meeting. All we did was try to keep sharing the gospel faithfully. We're not lighting the University of Colorado up on fire. They're not getting saved by the thousands. Maybe they will. Whatever God wants to do, I just think of Ezekiel, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house. And CU students are a rebellious house. Whether they hear, whether they refuse, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Do people where you work know that there's a prophet among them? Do your neighbors know that there's a prophet among them? We've got to share the gospel with people. People are going to hell forever. There's not a quickie solution. You just do your best. Last night I had an opportunity. I don't know where the conversation's going to take me. I just try to take an interest in people. I just said to the guy, shooting baskets with him and rebounding for him, and I said, where are you? Are you in school or what's up? He says, my major is philosophy. I thought, whoa, this guy's smarter than I am. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse because I can't save anybody anyway. Only God can. So I'm just going to interact and just do my best. And so he talked about the fact that he's working on epistemology. That's great, because I said, my son-in-law wants to work with Dr. Evan Fales, the hardcore atheist at University of Iowa in philosophy department. My son-in-law wants to work on presuppositionalism as to how we know that God's word is true. He said, I've never heard of presuppositionalism. So I said, well, it's basically a matter of all of us are sinful and therefore we're biased against God and we cannot interpret the scriptures accurately. And he said, well, then if we're sinners, then it would goof us up in all areas. It's like, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the problem is sin. And here he is in epistemology. How do I know that I know? And so a little later, I just thought, I got to get a few more right punches in a kind way. Just can't let this guy go. I'm leaving. I'll never see him again. He's going to go to hell. So I just said to him, you know, the only way, the beauty of God revealing the truth to us is because that means God's sovereign and he's in the driver's seat. And it means that I can't understand the truth in and of myself, or else otherwise the smart people would figure it out and the not so smart people wouldn't be able to figure it out. And then I could brag about the fact that I figured God out and sorry you didn't. And just pummeled them just as hard as I could in 30 seconds. And then the basketball game started and we played a couple games, and afterwards he came up and shook my hand. He said, thanks for the talk. And he left. There was no solution. I love to say, the guy got saved. It's just, you just keep trying, whether they listen or fail to listen. And some of the people that you're working with are more hardened than the people that I'm working with, because you're working with 60-year-olds, and for decades they've rejected the common grace of God and the special revelation of God. But whether they listen or fail to listen, we're trying to differentiate between false religion and true religion. And our goal is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood, put his arms out, and reconciled God to myself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good news that you've revealed to us. This very moment we humble ourselves, because we didn't figure out the gospel, because we were raised in a Christian home, or because we went to a Baptist church. We didn't figure it out with our brains. You opened our eyes, and we humble ourselves to Jesus Christ and know we deserve to go to hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We ask that you will help us to look for opportunities as you open the doors for us to go back to the basics, the single leg takedown, back to John 3:16, back to John 14:6. First of all, to believe with all of our heart that Jesus is the only way to God. And then to share that good news with people who are dying of spiritual cancer and have no answers to life's ultimate questions. We have those answers by your grace as revealed in your word. So please help us as a church to be a missionary church. Please help us to reach our neighbors, to reach out and share the gospel with our school friends, whether they listen or refuse to listen. Please enable us to be prophets where you've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.